This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Miguel Rojas!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Smith with a smash. Betts has it. Steps on the bag. The throw to first. Double play!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To beat the champ, you gotta knock him out!
Coming up on today's show, complete Week 10 Roundup, World Series Recap, Monday Night Preview. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, which you get everything ESPN. And then there's Disney Plus, as I mentioned. There's also ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM Channel 80. We say hello to all those who listen to us through podcast form. We appreciate that. We appreciate the subscription if you are a subscriber especially. We also appreciate anybody who takes in the Overreaction Monday podcast that Chris Brockman and I recorded before today's Rich Eisen Show. The No Contest Wrestling podcast records later on today, which means O'Shea Jackson Jr. will show up crowing like he actually cares about baseball. That'll be later on in hour number three.
You have no idea. He's been texting me.
No, I know. He sent out videos and all that.
Can we cancel his key card?
All that sort of stuff.
No, no, he has a key card?
Well, he talks about his hostile work environment. We don't want to...
He claimed he was going to come here at 9 and sit in for the whole show. I knew that wasn't
going to happen. We don't want to get him upset. Thank you so much. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, please stay on hold. We're going to promise you we take all your phone calls. We don't have any guests today. We just want to talk sports.
Let's do it.
With you and amongst all of us. And one of the reasons why we keep our Monday slate clean in many ways of guests is... Well, nobody wants to talk to us. But other than that, it's because it's because there's so much to talk about, and I kind of like the real estate to explore all of it, and certainly the World Series suffices as one of those. Christopher, when we previously on the Rich Eisen Show, what's more likely Friday subject matter? One of the things you threw at me prior to the weekend was. What's more likely, there'll be a Game 7 in the World Series or a 1-7 team in the NFL will beat a Los Angeles team?
Yes, sir.
I chose Game 7 of the World Series. Almost turned out to be both with the plucky Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, so close.
Scoring on special teams and on defense on the Chargers early on in that game. Yep. But the Chargers pulled it out. But the reason why I thought there would be a Game 7 is because who the Dodgers were throwing in Game 6. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who had thrown complete games in his previous two playoff outings. And sure enough, Yamamoto showed up in Toronto in Game 6, dominant. 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, 96 pitches, 63 of them for strikes. And sure enough, the offense and the runs sufficient enough for Yamamoto to hand the leadoff to his bullpen were provided by a guy who was so down and out. He was just so honest about his struggles. And it was Mookie Betts. Sure enough, this is how good he is and also how good Dave Roberts is. Is the manager of the Dodgers, is he's so good, he's hitting 130 and he gets dropped from 2 to 3 in the order. And then for Game 6, he gets dropped to 4th in the order. How about Dave Roberts saying, this guy can't hit a lick right now and he's down on himself, but I'm going to hit him cleanup. I'm going to have him protect Freddie Freeman in the lineup. And sure enough, who steps to the plate in the 3rd inning with runners in scoring position with a base hit? Mookie Betts, his first RBIs at all since game 2 of the NLCS. Span of 8 games. And this game 6 was kind of feeling unlike the previous wild games. It's, you know, Yamamoto's getting the people up and getting down in order. And this game's 3-1 after the Blue Jays got one run in response to the three spot for the Dodgers. And it's 3-1 going into the, you know, later stages of the game. And Roki Sasaki gave us a little bit of a pulse check in the eighth inning, 2 on, 1 out, got out of that. This game's not going to be like any of those other crazy games, is it, until the ninth inning. Oh, my goodness gracious. So Sasaki hits Alejandro Kirk to start the ninth right on his hand, and sure enough, John Schneider does what he has to do because Kirk's not going to be able to score on anything in the gap. Right, so he puts in Miles Straw, who runs like Xavier Worthy at the combine. And sure enough, Addison Barger hits one to the gap. And I've never seen this before. The ball hits like a highlight chulo right in the crease where the...
Oh, look at that photo.
Padding of the wall meets the warning track. And Justin Dean, who just got substituted into center field for Tommy Edman by Dave Roberts, raises his arms up, saying, this is a dead ball.
It's like Little League.
And Straw, who's inserted to score on exactly the ball Barger hits, can't score because it's a ground rule double. Now, there's a lot of arguments about whether this should have been too bad, Dodgers. You could still pluck the ball out of the wall, whether the rule book says it's a ground rule double only if it's not playable, like, say, in the vines of Wrigley
right,
Field.
The Ivy, yeah.
Lots of pissed off Blue Jay fans that the rule was not applied appropriately, that there have been previous inside the park home runs by somebody as slow as Prince Fielder. If you look it up, he once had an inside the park home run on exactly a play like this, and he makes Alejandro Kirk look like Ricky Henderson.
Oh, hey, no. Come on.
But sure enough, it's a ground rule double. Straw doesn't score. Barger's on second, and that's when Dave Roberts says, I'm going to go to my game three starter now. Even though we're wondering if he's going to start game seven, if there is one. Screw it. There is no tomorrow for us. I'm going to bring in Tyler Glasnow, and I'm going to have him face Ernie Clement, who is hitting like Mickey Mantle on top of Stan Musial in these playoffs. And Clement takes the first pitch and pops it up.
Oh, yep.
Nobody advances. I keep saying how the Blue Jays are the kings of the productive outs. Here's an unproductive out just when the Dodgers need it. And then here comes Jimenez, who is maybe the best ninth place hitter I've ever seen with runners in scoring position in my entire life. And there's two of them right there. And the Blue Jays need them both to score on a two-out hit. And Glasnow gets him to lace one to left field on a broken bat that looks like this is now a tie game. But here comes Kike Hernandez in to throw a dart to second base, and a guy who Dave Roberts puts into the lineup for game six just because he thinks he's bringing some juice, and Miguel Rojas, who makes an incredible pick amazing of a ball snap that was dirted right in front of him to stay on second base and get that run-of-the-mill World Series Game 7 forcing 7-4 double play. I've never seen that. Unbelievable.
What was Barger doing?
Thinking that was a base hit off the bat. So lots of ifs and buts and candies and nuts brings about the Game 7. Oh, my goodness. So, Max Scherzer, future first ballot Hall of Famer, starting for the Blue Jays, and it's Ohtani starting for the Dodgers. An interesting choice that I think had to be brought about because the game three starter, saved game six. But that doesn't preclude him from game seven. No, not by a long shot. And Ohtani starts game seven against Max Scherzer, which will be something, you know, in Cooperstown lore. Who started game seven of one of the most incredible World Series ever? Shohei Ohtani versus Max Scherzer. Unbelievable set of circumstances. And the Blue Jays send Bo Bichette to the plate with two on in the third inning against Ohtani. And Bichette hits a no doubt bomb. About her. Straight out of the building. And it's 3-0 Blue Jays. And when you hit three-run home runs, you usually win baseball games. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, the party can start now, except for the fact that, well, that's the Los Angeles Dodgers out there with stars all over the place and guys who aren't stars who can really play baseball and a manager who has got a magic touch. Oh, and Magic is in the building and owns the team as well. So listen.
But it did feel like the route is on.
Especially when in the next half inning, in the fourth inning, top of the fourth, Will Smith leads off with a double. Freeman with a base hit. Runners on the corners after a Betts out. A one-out walk worked by Max Muncy. Bases loaded against Max Scherzer. And who comes up but former Blue Jay Teoscar Hernandez, who sends a screaming liner to center. And Dalton Varsho makes a gorgeous catch. If he doesn't make the catch, we have a tie ball game. Yep. Instead, this means just one run comes in and that's all the Dodgers got. And I'm thinking, okay, this may just be the Blue Jays' night. What a catch that was. And just when you thought, okay, that's kind of crazy, we're settling in, Jimenez steps to the plate. And was it Robleski was on the mound, right? Mm-hmm. He clearly tries to get hit by the pitch.
He threw his arm at it.
And then the next pitch, Robleski just hits him with it. And Jimenez takes...
He gets so mad.
He gets upset. Like we're putting people on base yeah. just to prove a point in a two-run game in the World Series Game 7. Robleski basically tells him... all sorts yes. of things he can do to himself and his mother.
His grandkids.
And benches are clearing. We're yeah. playing the feud. And yeah. people are running out and from the bullpen. Oh, I'm coming in. Hold on a minute. I'm making my way. Clayton Kershaw and his dad bought. I'm almost there. Hold on a minute. Hold on a second. What the hell's going on in the World Series? Game 7.
That was crazy.
Playing the feud.
I loved it.
I got the blood flowing.
It was exciting.
It did. Whoa!
Another thing I haven't seen before so in exciting. A World Series, right? So then, just when we're seeing, you know, hey, we're within reach of a World Series for the Blue Jays, right? And John Schneider, like, looks across the dugout to Dave Roberts. They, too, can play at the game of... putting someone from previous starting positions into baseball games to do things out of the bullpen. In comes Trey Yosavage in the seventh inning, walks Ohtani, then gets out of it yep. with a double play grounder to end it. And in the eighth inning, here's Yosavage. And just when you're thinking, uh-oh, Dodger fans are sitting there thinking, there's 6 outs to go. Max Muncy hits one to Quebec.
Missile.
In the seventh, it's now a... 4-3 game, and we go to the ninth. And this is why you watch baseball. Guys you've never heard of, unless you pay strict attention, stroll to the plate, and with Ohtani on deck and one out, and the Blue Jays 2 outs away, and it's a 3-2 pitch, and you hear John Smoltz tell Joe Davis and the rest of all of us listening, this needs to be an action pitch. What I mean by that is it can't be so far out that Rojas doesn't offer at it and you put Ohtani up to the plate as the go-ahead run. He's got to swing at it. It's got to be close enough that he swings at it. And it is a spinner that's right down Broadway and Miguel Rojas takes it out of the yard.
Unreal.
With basically one hand. And Joe Davis had the only reaction you can have while you're working clean, which is, no way. Yeah. He said that. By the way, Joe, working you clean. Could say that about every single at-bat of this World Series.
His wife was telling him that he was going to hit a home run, and he wasn't even playing when she was saying this.
Listen to your better half.
I guess so.
Ties the game. Miguel Rojas, what's he doing in the World Series? Just ask. Well, the reason why he's in the World Series is because Andy Páez couldn't hit. Mm-hmm. He couldn't hit. But that doesn't mean he can't play.
Yeah, Andy was being saved or something.
Bottom of the ninth.
Yep. This was so insane.
Wait a second.
Blake Snell, your game one and five starter, comes out of the pen. And this is the guy you're going to say, get us to extras. Because if you get us to extras, you can keep pitching, right? That's in theory. And sure enough, Andy Páez comes running out of the dugout for the second straight game, be a defensive replacement in center field. And I'm thinking to myself, why is Dave Roberts doing that? All right, well, let's see what happens in this inning. Unbelievable. I can't get enough of just going blow by blow here. So Snell gets Vlad Guerrero to fly out. I mean, Snell versus Guerrero Jr. had epic moment written all over it. And certainly since the first pitch that Snell threw in his previous outing was yanked out of the park by Davis Schneider, and then the next at-bat by the guy at the plate to try and tie the game and send Canada into a frenzy that this thing's not over. Or that it is over. You know, that we're not going to extras. This is not going to go 18 innings. And he flies out to center. Bo Bichette singles to left. Now you know at this point in time what's going to happen here. Okay? There's going to be a pinch runner because he can't run at all. As a matter of fact, there was a base hit earlier in the game on two outs.
And he couldn't advance.
Couldn't score.
Yeah.
So who's at the plate but Mr. Barger himself, and with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa on first, Barger walks and IKF goes to second. Then Alejandro Kirk, once again, hit by a pitch. And the bases are loaded, and you're like, this is the end of the moment. But this is, to be honest with you, unbelievably, this is the moment that Dave Roberts inserts Andy Páez into center field in the middle of the inning, guys. And Dalton Varsho's at the plate. All he's got to do is put the ball in play with the infield in and hit it hard somewhere not right at anybody. And who does he hit it to? To Rojas, who looks like he bobbles it and stumbles. And I'm thinking this World Series is over. And he throws to the plate, and IKF, for some reason, slides in with his feet. This is a force play at home. Run through the plate.
Just run.
Run through it.
Yeah.
Or slide with your hand. Yeah. You've got your mitt on. Yeah. Slide with your right hand. And he's ruled out at the plate. The replay, at first blush, the first thing I saw was Will Smith's right foot off the plate. I'm like, are we going to see the most 21st century moment ever that a World Series is clinched and won on a replay reversal? That was in the ether until you saw Smith's foot tap back on the plate before. For whatever reason, IKF sliding into home with his foot.
Instead of his hand, all the dirt running through it. And with the dirt, because of the slide, you couldn't tell where the plate was.
You think it would be closer if he ran through it?
You would have been
safe.
Sliding slows you down.
Or when you look at the replay wide, TJ, I mean, we can obviously have an argument about it. We'll never know.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
I'm not arguing. I'm just a legit question. Running full speed.
By running through it like
you go to first.
Like Jeremy Giambi once tried.
Right. He was safe.
Okay.
I mean, true.
But just running through it, well, that one you needed to be tagged. This one you have to be tagged.
Right.
But when you look at the wide.
Yeah, his lead.
IKF's lead, his secondary lead was non-existent.
Yeah, he was nuts.
Again, Snell is going to pirouette and hit Muncy, who's his infield in. You have full view of whether the third baseman's going back to third.
Yeah.
He can't sneak in behind you. This is the nightmare fuel for Blue Jay fans we're running through right now for the next rest of their lives.
It's brutal.
But it's not over. It's not over because Ernie Clement, who just set the record for most hits in a postseason, is coming up. And he smokes one to left center.
Smokes one.
And you could see Kike Hernandez is way too in to go get it. And he is trying to basket catch it. And you're thinking, this thing is now over. What are the odds he's going to basket catch it? Whatever those odds were greater than Andy Páez, who was just inserted, running for his life from center field to go and grab the ball over Hernandez and make the catch while they collide.
Look at that.
Laid him out.
I thought Hernandez was like out.
Right. He didn't even know he caught it.
Collide.
Look at that photo. That is perfect.
You cannot get enough of this.
That's what Padgett should have blown up in his house.
Yeah, that's need to be this. In his house. Yeah,
he should tattoo that on himself.
Even better. You should get that tattooed, Jay.
Kike Hernandez had the soundbite. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
He said Páez caught it, looked down and said, "Are you okay?" And he thought that Páez didn't get it and that the World Series was over. And he's like, "I'm effing all right. What are you talking about?" And Páez basically told him,
I caught the ball.
Yeah.
Kike said, "I was just down because I thought we lost." Yeah. When he came over to me, I said, "Do you have the ball?" And he was like, "I have the ball."
Yeah.
And then you see him.
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. We just effing lost. And he goes, no, I have the ball. That happened.
That was insane.
Extra innings.
That was insane.
Back to back. Back to back. More nightmare fuel for the Blue Jays.
That was an incredible moment, man.
Like, that felt like, okay.
I really thought it was going to be.
Dodgers are going to win this now.
I thought it was going to be Kike Mays for a second, the way he was going back.
Yeah,
he was
unreal. You know. He was way too shallow.
Well, yada, yada, yada. I mean, Will Smith homers.
Yep.
And the problem for the Blue Jays is before the Will Smith homer and after the Will Smith homer, there was somebody in the game. And it was the game 6 and game 2 winner in Yamamoto. And they have to look at this guy and say, "Oh, no, I don't want to see you anymore." No.
He had to have gotten drug tested after this, right?
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Build a statue of that guy.
And sure enough, after the Will Smith home run, puts the Dodgers up. By the way, I believe in the 74th inning of action of the World Series. Wow. Top of the 74th. is when Will Smith homered. And Yamamoto is now trying to save his own Game 7 win after winning Games 2 and 6. Trying to save his own Game 7 W. Gives up a double to Vlad Guerrero Jr., who brings his hands in and somehow keeps it fair down the left field line. I can't get enough about talking about this World Series. And with men on first and second, with Guerrero doing what he did in this World Series, Alejandro Kirk comes up. And I thought to myself, with runners on first and third, do you steal here? Do you steal? Do you dare steal here? Because Kirk could get the double play ground ball. Yep. And sure enough, yep. Yamamoto breaks Kirk's bat in half. But Kirk had enough power to get it right to Mookie Betts.
Right to Mookie.
With an unassisted double play. And the most entertaining and wildest World Series, I got to say, I think I've ever seen, comes to an end. The Dodgers become the first back-to-back champions since the Yankees did it. The first back-to-back NL champion since the Big Red Machine did it in the mid-70s. And when Ohtani signed with the Dodgers and then Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers, all of us were here like, how many World Series would it take to make this a success? Some of us said 2. Some of us said 3. Well, guess what? They've got 2. And they've got the team to go get a 3rd. Because, again, the stars are aligned. The stars are in their lineup. And give it up. You got to. Certainly when there's everybody, oh, they spend all this money and then they defer all this money and they do all this and they buy it. Well, in the same way that Phil Jackson had Shaq and Kobe after he had Jordan and Pippen, you still got to have the guy or the lady, depending on the sport, to push the buttons. Give it up to Dave Roberts, who, by the way, showed up in Toronto, kept it light. I think what he was trying to race and run the bases, fell flat on his face in front of the whole team.
Yeah.
Kept him loose. He's the one who dropped Mookie to the fourth spot in the order, and he got a two RBI single out of Mookie. He's the one who starts Ohtani. By the way, brought in Glasnow at one point in Game 7. He's the one who, dude, if we get him on the show, what made him want to put Andy Páez in the game? What made him say, you know what, middle of this inning, let's go put him in there. Miguel Rojas in the sixth, Game 6, comes up with that pick on the double play to force a Game 7 that he ties with a home run. Put in Justin Dean, who knew the rule enough to put his hands up.
Yeah, that was incredible.
He could have easily just ran over, tried to grab it, and then the play lived on.
And he was the one in Game 3 when Schneider was out of players that wasn't for him. He kept his guys in the game. Yeah. Congrats, Dodgers fans.
This locks up Hall of Fame for him, right?
I mean, plus what he did as a player. I mean, there will be people who are like, well, he had this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. Still got to win it when everybody's expecting you to. And they had a Blue Jay team who was poised to prevent it.
And it's a good team, too, man.
Dude, he
after
pushed
winning two
the
in Dodger Stadium?
Buttons.
Man, oh, man.
He won. They won both in Toronto.
Yeah.
And that's my World Series review.
It was awesome. What a series, so man. It was so good.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, supporting you every step of the way at progressive.com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So much more to discuss on this program. Man, that was an unbelievable World Series and one of the most watched ever as well. Congrats to baseball on all of that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to the phone lines here. Turzo in Iowa, everybody. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. All rise. Turzo's Niners got the win. He's a Dodger hater who loves the Giants. What's going on, Turzo?
Yo, man, it was a great weekend. Unfortunately, we probably lost Mikael Williams for the season. We can never seem to make it out of MetLife Stadium without an injury.
I know. But you got the win, though. And Mac Jones has been unbelievable. 5 wins now as a starter. 5. And Brock Purdy got the one against Seattle that you need in Seattle before he got hurt, or he got hurt during it. So not bad.
Well, exactly. It was a big, you know, it was a big win. Mac has been looking great. McCaffrey's out of his mind right now with what he's able to do. We just got to try and keep pace because, like you've been saying, the Rams and the Sea Chickens, they're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough out. And we're gonna have to do whatever we can to keep pace with them because I don't see either of those teams slipping up going forward. And this might be the best division in football. But that World Series, man, that was awesome, man. That was great baseball. Shout out to the Dodgers. Good on them. You know, as much as I hate them, that was still a great World Series and a lot of fun to watch.
Thanks, Turzo. Greatly appreciated. Turzo in Iowa
here.
See
you, buddy.
Listen, if you got to handicap it right now in the NFC West, just based on injuries alone, the Niners have got a bigger hill to climb, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think without a doubt. Well, Ricky Purcell still hasn't been back. Brock Purdy's still not back.
Well, and Ayuk is apparently around the corner. I mean, you got those guys.
But his practice window hasn't been open yet. They lose another defensive player to a season-ending injury. What they've been able to do to overcome all this, hats off, kudos to keep pace, but it's not looking good with the way Seattle and the Rams look.
Right we'll now. Talk about that in hour number 3 a little bit more. Matt in Oklahoma, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Matt? How you been? Congrats on your Bills, brother.
Rich. Are you there?
I am, sir. Congrats on your Bills.
Kicked a little dirt on my Bills yesterday, but we're not dead.
Come on, man.
You and that math hole over there. You know, I'll guarantee you one thing. The Patriots are good. They're young. May's really good. They're not going to win the division. Buffalo's still going to win the division. So you can crone out all he wants. Other thing. To the two idiots yesterday here in Enid, Oklahoma, that with Chiefs flag to put me off going down the road.
Mm-hmm.
How you like that, you bandwagon?
Yeah, hanging out. Oh, Matt in Oklahoma coming in nice and strong.
I'm telling you, these same guys had Cowboys fans flags on their car last month, so I know who you are. It's okay. Another best part about today is I woke up. It's a playoff start today. Kansas City's not in the playoffs. So guess what? You're only as good as your last game. So suck it, Kansas City.
Hold on a second, Matt. Not to knock you off your retribution tour here. while I have someone from Oklahoma on the horn, do you all wear shorts to win games over there in Oklahoma?
Are you talking about our kicker?
Oh, my goodness. Great. What's he doing out there? And
I don't care if he wears a tutu. He can wear whatever he wants. But I watched it. It's great.
Matt, I mean, like, his shorts are so small. I mean, John Stockton is even saying, get a room.
My son made a comment about it. He said, Daddy, what's wrong with his shorts? And I said, no pants. I said, don't worry about it. Just close your eyes. As long as you can make the kick, we don't care.
And then he did.
It's okay. My son wanted me to call you and crow about the Bills today. He made me promise this morning, my son Luke.
Okay. What's up, Luke? Hey, listen, you have every reason to do it. It's a big time win. Yeah. He said,
tell Rich, because you were talking bad about his Bills yesterday. He seen you on NFL game day morning.
Yeah.
He said, Rich is going to regret that tomorrow morning. You call him.
Okay.
I said, okay, buddy.
I wish I had gotten the pick. I got the pick wrong. Tell Luke I got the pick wrong.
You got the pick wrong. Who cares about the playoffs? We won yesterday. The Chiefs are in the playoffs. They start tomorrow, so life is good.
Matt in Oklahoma, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Boy, Matt.
All right, bringing the funk and the noise.
Sounds like Matt's going on looking for some vigilante justice.
He certainly is.
And I get a boom. This could get called into court someday.
Yeah, careful. But let's talk about your Patriots, Christopher.
Why not?
Listen, I understand that Matt in Oklahoma, a diehard Bills fan, is like, they're not going to win the division. We're going to win the division.
Might be true.
I can't sit here and say that for any sort of certainty at all, because the Patriots right now are beating the teams that are right there in front of them. And, you know, the next one is in Tampa. This is going to be the one where it shows that they can pack their defense that stops everybody who's running the football. And that Drake May is going to show up. And then Baker Mayfield, as you know, was the MVP through the first, 6 weeks of the season, right? I mean, when Seattle welcomed them in week five and Tampa lit them up and, you know, and this is the Bucs are coming off a bye, but right now you just have to give it up to what the Patriots are doing right now. And what that is winning football games, and winning football games with a kid that has the Bill Parcells phrase, when a young player starts becoming a big time star in the league, he always said the phrase is he dropped his Huggies. And this guy in Drake May has dropped his Huggies. He's as good as they come from a draft class. This is why everybody wanted to trade up for him. This is why the Giants try to trade up for him. This is why the Vikings apparently try to trade up for him. And the end of the day, the Patriots are like, get out of here. We have earned the third overall pick. And by the way, you are so lucky. I'm going to talk about luck. There's luck, obviously, in getting somebody who's generationally greatest all time, 199th overall. But the player has to have the want to, can do, and all of that stuff. I mean, in this upcoming draft, if you've got the third overall pick, there might not be quarterbacks taken in the first three picks because there's nobody worthy of it. And instead, this was a draft where there were three quarterbacks worthy of it, and the Patriots got theirs. The Patriots got theirs.
Yeah, without question.
And what they've gotten is a kid who, as Kurt Warner said, is the best deep thrower of the football, doesn't turn it over, and he's efficient. He gets rid of it.
The two turnovers on Sunday almost came back to.
I understand that.
Kind of got lucky with a missed kick.
In general. Okay. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course.
He has thrown an interception in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Passer rating over 100. Most consecutive games of 200 or more pass yards. We had this graphic last week. We now just have to update it. He now has 8 of them. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning are the others of 2020, 2007, and Peyton Manning of 2004. Aaron Rodgers is 2011. He had 12 of them in a row. Every last one of them won the MVP award. So he's got 4 more to go to catch the 2011 Rodgers. He's already tied the 2020 Rodgers and tied the 2007 Brady and the 2004 Manning. They all won the MVP awards.
Yeah, and he's efficient. Leads the NFL in completion percentage. He's second in passer rating. Still taking a lot of sacks, too. He's doing this behind still kind of a makeshift offensive line, though Will Campbell has been awesome this year. You know, the other five guys, it's been a tough unit. He's taking a lot of hits.
Well, and the neat thing is for you guys, is that the Patriots are stopping the other team. Drake London had a day and a half.
He did.
But the running backs aren't. The New England Patriots have now held opponents to less than 50 yards rushing every game this season. And the teams that they've faced, Achan, I guess Dowdle wasn't going yet for Carolina at that point in time, James Cook, Alvin Kamara, Pollard, and Bijan is the latest.
Oh, Quishon Judkins, too.
Yep, Judkins, too. New England has held all opposing running backs under 50 rushing yards for the first nine games this year.
Yeah, that's been a real surprise.
And if they could do it to Bucky Irving and Rashad White next week, they are they would join the Brady Buccaneers for the longest such streak of 10 games. So that's how you can win your division. But coming up is, as I mentioned, Tampa, then the Rams, then the Patriots are taking on the Jets. I just lowered my voice there. At Cincinnati, home for the Giants. Now, after their bye, home for Buffalo. That's it right there. And Buffalo, in the meantime, they're at Miami, home for Tampa, at Houston on a Thursday night, at Pittsburgh, home for Cincinnati. This division can be New England's 100%. So that's why that was a big win for the Bills. And I don't care, as Madden in Oklahoma might be taking orders from his son Luke to come and air me out. I'll say it, I guess, in a much more measured way, that 100%, it doesn't matter what the Bills and the Chiefs do in the postseason. The regular season, the Bills needed it. And that win might actually prevent the Chiefs from making the playoffs, depending on how they move forward. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. We're back with more of your phone calls. So much more to cover from week 9 of the NFL season.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Oh, boy. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the entire crew? Maybe it's the capability of going off-road, or the 600-plus miles of range. Could also be the driver behind the wheel. What if it's all that and more? What is it then? It is the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603 for more details. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to Derek in Missouri. Has been hanging on forever. What's up, Derek? How you been, brother?
Oh, gosh, Rich, it's been a calamity, colossal week for the Broncos. They've had me go into almost a cardiac arrest faster than Brockman consuming as many donuts and cookies as he has over there, getting to a sugar coma.
Ladies and gentlemen.
But, man, yesterday against Houston, I'll tell you, fourth quarter comes about, I'm like, where have I seen this movie before? It's like, oh, yeah, now I remember. Started all last month against Philadelphia, then the Giants, and then yesterday it's... This team is insurmountably insane, but in a good way, Rich. And the vibe that I have right now, I haven't had since 2015. It's pretty nice right now. And one more thing before you let me go, Rich. What would you say was the biggest surprise yesterday? The Steelers over the Colts or the Vikings over the Lions?
Good question. Thanks for the call, Derek. What was the biggest surprise of the Week 9 Sunday? How about them apples?
How much the Steeler defense kind of dominated
the Steeler defense stepping up.
Nobody was giving them
six takeaways there. I don't know. I think the Panthers beating the Packers in Green Bay is that one. That's the big one.
Right,
Packers
there.
Were 5-1-1, man.
13-point favorites, I think.
And listen, they had right then and there the ability to just win one at home that they're supposed to win, and then welcome in the Eagles. They would be 6-1-1, and the Eagles were going to be 6-2, and the winner was going to take over this conference. And all the Packers had to do would be just to win, and guess what? They'd be a game and a half in front. Now, that Monday nighter next week is for 5-2-1 against 6-2. Mm-hmm. If the Packers go to 6-2-1, they're a half game in front of Philadelphia and could still be gotten by Philadelphia. I mean, this was a big loss. Obviously, Carolina at 5-4, they're in the mix in the wild card hunt right now. They are, in fact, sniffing it. Their problem is there's too many good NFC West and NFC South teams. Their hope has to be that that's just going to cancel a bunch of them out. I mean, the Rams' next two games are against San Francisco and Seattle. Perfect example right there. They keep winning and they could sneak in. And that would be just a monster occurrence for Carolina. But that loss by Green Bay knocks them down to fourth in conference right now. And your leading team in the NFC after 9 weeks of football, because the Monday nighter between the Cardinals and the Cowboys are not going to affect it, are the Philadelphia Eagles. After all of this, what you say in the Overreaction Monday podcast, calling all the things going on there internally and how what becomes external, you called it mumbo jumbo.
Mumbo jumbo.
Great use of mumbo jumbo.
Thank you, sir.
But at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles enter week 10 atop the NFC. And what happens when a trade deadline rolls around? If I'm getting a call from Howie Roseman,
hang up!
I am not answering it.
Do not answer. Straight to voicemail.
Because the bottom line is, I'm just going to be wondering, what's he trying to pull on me?
How am I getting ripped off?
But he's the Obi-Wan Kenobi of NFL trades. These are not the draft choices you're looking for. These are the draft picks I'm going to give you, and you will say yes and give me this player.
It's annoying.
And you will thank me for it.
It really is.
Jalen Phillips is a Philadelphia Eagle, and Brandon Graham is going to start getting into shape, and we'll get BG back in the mix as the OG. And this guy, Phillips, is one of the best at rushing the passer, and that's what they do in Philadelphia. Let's control the line of scrimmage. Let's get you off the spot, and let's get our offense rolling through Saquon Barkley, and then A.J. Brown he's going nowhere, folks. He's going absolutely nowhere. And all this is a third-round draft choice. So next year, when the Dolphins are on the clock with their third-round draft choice, Howie Roseman will just be sitting back, maybe cackling, because he's celebrating another championship. Or he's not cackling as hard because somebody threw another can of beer at him. Can we lay off of Howie Roseman during these parades, please? Protect him at all costs, because he's one of the best in any sport at this. What a great coup.
Don't forget they also got Jair Alexander.
Oh, yeah. They got him, too, and Michael Carter from the Jets.
How? Like Jesse Pinkman, he can't keep getting away with this.
He can. But the bottom line, maybe he's got – is he blocker his caller ID? Is he blocked?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.